Are you ready to find more joy, more happiness? Then keep listening. Coming up on Which Way Is Life, the podcast designed to help you find a healthier, inspired life. Episode number 32, my guest today, author Doug Abrams. And we talk about his book, The Book of Joy, Lasting Happiness in a Changing World, written with Archbishop Desmond Tutu and His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Doesn't get much better than that. So you get the 8 pillars of joy, simple tips for being happier, and there's so much goodness in this episode. Just make sure you listen all the way through the high five. You're going to love it. And if I could ask a quick favor, just hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to catch every episode. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt. That's real salt brand sea salt.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired, get healthy, reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
This is so cool. So excited to have Doug Abrams on with us today. Doug is an author, editor, and literary agent. He is the founder and president of Idea Architects, a creative book and media agency helping visionaries to create a wiser, healthier, and more just world. He is also the co-founder of HumanJourney.com, along with Archbishop Desmond Tutu, a public benefit company working to share life-changing and world-changing ideas. Doug believes strongly in the power of books and media to catalyze the next stage of global evolutionary culture. And today, we're going to talk with Doug about his latest book, The Book of Joy, Lasting Happiness in a Changing World. So get this, Archbishop Desmond Tutu and His Holiness the Dalai Lama spent 1 week together and spoke candidly to each other about their lives, their philosophies, the state of the world, and of the inherently human trait we call joy. And guess who is right there in the middle of it? Yep, Doug Abrams. Doug moderated the conversation, and in the book, he walks us through the conversations between them. Doug, so happy to have you on with us today. First off, before we get started, can you let us in on your personal life? Who are you when you're not saving the world?
Thanks, Bill. It's great to be with you. I'm a father of 3 kids, married, and live in Santa Cruz, California. To a doctor, actually. My wife is an integrative physician, and I have the great privilege in my work of helping visionaries create a wiser, healthier, more just world, as you said, doing a lot of amazing books like The Book of Joy that help people to have lives of greater choice, greater meaning, greater health.
I love that mission. So cool. And again, thank you for being on with us. And Doug, I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
Yes.
Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
Sure. Set your intention for the day, each day. This is something I learned from the Dalai Lama. He does it as traditional Tibetan Buddhist monks do each day. They set their intention for the day and how they can actually fulfill that intention, and often that intention for them is to bring more compassion, more love and kindness to the people that they meet and to the world.
So to set an intention, figure out what it is you want to accomplish that day or how you want to be better or present yourself to the world in a better way. Like you said, okay, I just want to be more compassionate today, or want to be more understanding today, or I want to be a better listener today. Is that what
exactly
you're talking about?
Exactly. I mean, I think as parents, we can do that. You know, it can be as simple as wanting to really slow down and spend time with our kids today. It can be, and I'd say even more than what we want to accomplish, an intention setting is really more of who we want to be today, you know, and how we can benefit our, you know, others. And, you know, I just celebrated my 50th birthday, and it was pretty cool to hear my kids talk about what they got from their father and kind of who I was as a dad for them. And I think the more that we set that intention, and not that everything was perfect, but the more we can set that intention on a daily basis, the more likely we are to be the person we want to be.
I like that. So more of who we want to be, set that intention daily. So Doug, first off, what was that week like sitting between these two wonderful men? That had to be quite an experience.
It was incredible. I mean, really such an incredible privilege. It was a great responsibility, too. I knew that we had one chance to capture this for the world. These were kind of a week of historic dialogues and experiences that we had. I knew it was never going to happen again. And in fact, it might be the last time that the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Tutu ever actually see each other and meet again. You know, so we had a lot on our shoulders to really make sure that we were capturing this in a way, both in words and on film, that the whole world could benefit from.
So you're in between these two men, and these conversations then, of course, became the Book of Joy, with the most recent findings in the science of deep happiness and the daily practices that anchor their own emotional and spiritual life. So let's start with the science of deep happiness. What can we learn there?
Well, there's so many things. I mean, one of the things that the Dalai Lama said to me as we were, you know, kind of embarking on this project together when we met in D.C. before we met in India for the week, he said, this must not just be a Buddhist book or a Christian book. It needs to be a universal human book. It needs to be a book for people of any faith or no faith. And we must bring in science. And both of these two great spiritual masters are real believers in science and in what the Archbishop calls self-corroborating truth, when many different disciplines and many different sciences or traditions point to the same thing. And that's really what we were able to see, was that, that science, has come a long way. We were able to include a lot of the science of happiness and well-being. One really cool just kind of finding that I'll just throw out there as one of the kind of, there are a couple different powerful things. There's so many different powerful things in it, but one to share with you and your listeners, one is that when we went to the scientists, they said that there are basically four fundamental human emotions. There is fear, there's anger, there's sadness, and there's joy. That's it. Those are the four notes on the keyboard of human emotional life from which we create the symphonies of our well-being and our life and our love. And so when we're talking about joy, we're really talking about so much of what makes human life satisfying, meaningful, rich, rewarding, pleasurable. We're really talking about the whole enchilada of human life.
So out of those four quadrants, fear, anger, sadness, joy, you're going to be in one of those at certain times throughout your life. That's normal. But it seems like we want to try to get into that joy quadrant a lot more often.
Exactly. And I think they were both really powerful. And this was actually one of the places where Archbishop Tutu was really adamant about the fact that we don't want to beat up on ourselves for experiencing fear and anger and sadness. We don't want to add shame to that. Just holds on to the emotion. And it's just natural human experience to be have those feelings come up. But we want to use what the Dalai Lama calls mental immunity and the practices of developing mental immunity to fall into those what are often called negative emotional states less often, and to recover from them more quickly.
Mental immunity. So in the nature of true joy, then, the mental immunity, we want to avoid the obstacles to joy, remove those, hence you're able to experience joy more often.
Exactly. And the way I would describe it is, I think I went into this book, like so many of us, thinking, you know, joy and sorrow are kind of these opposites, and our goal is to kind of live in joy and happiness all the time and push away sorrow and unhappiness and adversity as much as possible. And one of the really powerful, like, brain-twisting things that they revealed to me and to, you know, that we try to explain in the book, is that joy and sorrow for them are two sides of the same coin, and that it's actually, you can't have the joy without experiencing the sorrow. It's like the volume on a stereo or on your, you know, your iPod or, you know, phone, that you either turn down everything and kind of numb yourself out to the sorrow, but you also numb yourself out to the joy, or you turn up the volume on everything and you laugh more, but you also cry more. And so that was a really profound insight. And then with the obstacles of joy, so the book has three parts. It has Fear of True Joy, which is an exploration of what the meaning of joy is from from everything from the pleasures of the five senses all the way up to the kind of spiritual radiance that these two men have. And then the second part is that obstacles, overcoming the obstacles of joy that you were just talking about. And the third part is the eight pillars of joy, these qualities that we can talk about. But in terms of the obstacles, they, you know, tackle everything. They really didn't want this book to be a kind of lofty Ten Commandments of how you should live your life. They wanted it to really speak to people where they live. So we start out with stress and frustration and anger and everything, and loneliness and envy and illness and adversity and even death. And they kind of tackle those issues powerfully in a way and help us to understand how we can confront each of those very common human experiences when we face them.
And it sounds like those are intertwined then with joy, because you said you need to feel sorrow to ultimately get to joy. So when you know the feeling of sorrow, you can really then understand what joy is after feeling, you know, sorrow and some of those other things you just mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the paradigmatic experience of joy, Archbishop Tutu was saying, is like the birth of a child. And you think about all the pain and all the suffering that a mother goes through to bring a child into the world, and the ecstasy and joy of looking into that child's face and seeing that, you know, healthy child born from that pain.
Okay. Got it. Well, that makes sense. So you just mentioned also the eight pillars of joy. Can you quickly share those with us?
Sure. The eight pillars are really four pillars of the mind and four pillars of the heart. The first four are perspective, humility, humor, and acceptance. Those four. And then the next four of pillars of the heart are forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity.
Okay, so perspective, humility, humor, and acceptance. Those are part of the, say that again?
The four pillars of the mind.
Of the mind, and then
right.
Forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity are four pillars of the heart.
Exactly right. And it was really interesting to see the science that kind of validated many of those pillars as being kind of the essential qualities that lead to greater happiness.
So in the book, then, you go in depth on each of those: perspective, humility, humor, etc.
Exactly. So there's a chapter on each of those, just like there's a chapter on each of the obstacles to joy.
Okay. So let's try to boil this down just a little bit more. So those are great to know, but can you boil this down for us? How do we live a life of joy in the face of adversity?
Well, I would say that kind of the most, I'd say that there are kind of three fundamental components that are probably most central when we're encountering our own adversity or suffering, or when we're looking out at the world and seeing the state of the world that we're in. And the first of those is perspective. It's basically what the Dalai Lama calls taking a wider perspective. It's recognizing that our problem that we're fixating our perspective and our attention on is only part of the reality of what's going on, and stepping back and being able to see the wider perspective of what's happening to us and what is happening in our world. And in many ways, for example, it's about the way that you shift that. It's like, so that adversity, so when people suffer, sometimes Archbishop said, embitters them. They get kind of broken by that adversity. Or sometimes it ennobles them. It makes them greater. And the difference, the distinction that they said was, if you can find meaning in it, if you can not see your adversity or your suffering as this kind of random act of unkindness or cruelty, but find the meaning and the purpose and be able to use that in your life to improve your own life or the lives of others. That's kind of the key number one component. The other, I would say, is, you know, get engaged. So, like, acceptance was one of their, is one of the pillars. But the chapter is called Acceptance, the Only Place from Which Change Can Occur. So it's seeing clearly what's really happening, but actually then getting engaged in a way that tries to make the situation better for ourselves and for others. So it's not just acquiescence. It's not just like, well, it's inevitable, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket and we're just going to let it happen. It's not just about, well, this person is treating me badly and I'm just going to kind of take it or deal with it. It's actually getting engaged and trying to, you know, make a difference and do something about it. So I think that that is a really fundamental shift as well. And then I think, you know, one of the other key components, which actually I guess there are two others that I would give. One is the importance of gratitude, and the science is really clear on this as well. When we're shifting our reality from what's lacking to what's what we have and what there is, and being grateful for what we are, our life, it dramatically changes our experience of our life. And then the fourth piece, which is kind of really fundamental to the science and to what the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Tutu say, is about compassion and generosity to others. It seems that our greatest joy is in giving joy to others. And when we do that, it's the fastest road to our own greater joy and happiness.
So is it simple to say, if you want to experience more happiness in your life, it's simply to be kinder and more compassionate?
Well, I'd say, you know, it's a super important component of it. I'd say that, yeah, there was a wonderful expression that Archbishop Tutu said. He said, "You will be surprised by the joy when you go beyond your own self-regard." So what that means is not just, you know, kind of doing acts of kindness and generosity to others, which is a huge part of it. And I think the Dalai Lama said that's the kind of happiness when we're in a state of compassion that lasts for 24 hours. But when we go beyond being so preoccupied with ourselves and our problems, how good we are, how not good we are, that kind of shifting focus from our own self-preoccupation to how we can be in relationship to others and of service to others and connected to others, I think that's a huge part of the shift.
So if you had one simple tip to give to for anyone listening to be happier, what would it be?
I think it would be look beyond yourself. You know, it seems like it's that if we focus on ourselves, that we'll actually get what we want. And it's not to say that we don't focus on ourselves and that we don't, you know, be very mindful and aware of who we are and what we need, and that we don't have those goals and try to get it. That's, the Dalai Lama was discovered at age 2, but the Archbishop, you know, became an Archbishop for a reason. I mean, he had ambition and goals and a desire to be to make a difference. And I mean, it's not like you just kind of sit in the cave and forget about, you know, what you want to do with your life. It's about you connecting that goal and those ambitions and those desires to something that's greater than your own happiness.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, Doug, thanks for being on with us again. And coming up, we get the high five from Doug Abrams. And if I could ask a favor, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've heard to improve their life, to make their life better, to have more joy in their life. So if you could, after the interview with Doug, hop over to iTunes, rate and review the show. And by doing that, we gain a wider audience and it gives us a chance to help more people, which this podcast is about. If you could do that for me, I would really appreciate it. The high five with Doug is next. Which Way is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way Is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way Is Life for your free audio book. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. Now, you probably already use sea salt on your food because you know of its health benefits, but is your salt real? Take a look at the ingredients panel. You might be surprised by what's inside. A lot of salts contain fillers, anti-caking chemicals, even dextrose, which is a type of sugar. So you want a salt like Real Salt that hasn't been stripped of its minerals or had chemicals added. Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt. That's real. Real Salt brand sea salt. Find it at your local health food store or go to realsalt.com. Time for the high five with Doug Abrams, my guest today. Doug, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, question number one. With all this joy, Doug, let me ask you a personal question. What brings you joy in everyday life?
I think doing cool stuff with the people I love.
And you know what? That always brings you joy. All right, question number two. Doug, if we learn one lesson from this book, one takeaway, what would it be? Or what would you hope it would be?
I think it's to look beyond yourself and don't turn away from the sorrow. Embrace it, learn from it, grow from it. Be transformed by it and use it to better others.
So look beyond yourself and embrace the sorrow. So yeah. As we were talking about earlier, I think, you know, when you embrace that sorrow, then the joy is even much more ecstatic then too, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So question number three, of the techniques and traditions that these men use and lean on, what's your favorite?
That is a great question. There's so many that are so powerful. I think meditation, self-reflection is probably the most powerful and the one I try to use the most. Some people can use it as prayer as well. But I just think taking that time to go inward and, you know, it's this ironic thing. We're saying look beyond yourself and at the same time, know your own mind and heart, and I think that's what meditation can do for you.
So meditation and self-reflection. Okay, number four, you know, with so many shootings and road rage incidents and now fights being broadcast on Facebook, just crazy stuff, how can we show more understanding and compassion towards one another?
You know, I think the way they described it is to say that so much of what we see on the news is the aberration. You know, it wouldn't be news if it wasn't the exception. And I think understanding that it is the exception of, and that most of what's happening on planet Earth for most people is an enormous amount of love and compassion, caring from parents to children, teachers, hospitals, to workers to one another, and that we can actually take... when we shift that recognition, then we can actually be a part of that tidal wave of compassion and kindness and connect with others and go beyond ourselves.
I think that's a great point and great perspective. There is so much more good in the world than bad. And I think you just brought that up, Doug. We lose sight of that. And we've got to remember that at all times.
Absolutely.
So thank you for sharing that. Question number five. All right, this recent election has made many uneasy. How do we find joy in a time of such uncertainty in America?
So I think we were talking about it before as, you know, I think number one is to have that wider perspective and realize that what we're dealing with is in this election cycle or, you know, in terms of the terrorist attacks, you know, that this is a part of a wider, you know, history of human development and that it's not the be-all and end-all. Secondly, I think it's about getting engaged and feeling purposeful and in a way that it doesn't feel like that we can make it meaningful, and we can say whatever our political perspective is, let's use this time in our country's history to make the republic better, to make our society better in a way that helps everyone, and to remember our shared humanity and realize, as these two men so powerfully show us, that whatever our differences, whatever our different traditions or different political views, at the end, what we want for ourselves, for our children, for our world, it's fundamentally we want, you know, more joy and more love and more happiness in our world, despite our different views of how to achieve it.
Okay, so that's a really good roadmap. Have a wider perspective. Don't forget about engagement to make society better. Don't forget about our shared humanity. I think you're right on that. And I think people can use those steps as we head into a new era here. Doug, thank you so much for your time today. How can we connect with you?
So the Book of Joy is available at bookstores everywhere and online and your independent local bookstore at airports. You can also learn more about the Book of Joy at the website bookofjoy.org as well.
And we're going to put links to all of that on Doug's show notes page at radiomd.com. So just go to radiomd.com, search Doug Abrams. You're going to see all the great things we talked about today, and there will be links to find Doug's book and more information about Doug. Doug, thank you so much again. If I could leave you with one of my favorite quotes here, which is, enjoy the little things in life because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Doug, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you so much, Bill. All the best.
So cool. Thanks again, Doug. I appreciate that. And thank you for listening. So cool of you to do that. And again, if I could ask a favor, I know I sound like a broken record, but jump over to iTunes, rate and review the podcast. Just search Which Way Is Life. When you get to the podcast section of iTunes, I'll pop up. You'll see my picture. Just rate and review it. We'll gain a wider audience, and it gives us a chance to help more people, which this podcast is all about. I would really appreciate that. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. Please hit me up on Twitter, at Which Way Is Life. Same thing on Facebook, at Which Way Is Life. Follow the page, and you can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well. We'll be right back.